It's time for Viewmaster on 95BFM. Yeah, it is.
Hello.
Hey, Sam. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Ready to go?
We're in the third hour of the show. I'm more awake than I was at the beginning.
I love that. So today we're talking about Insatiable, the new Netflix controversial drama comedy extravaganza.
Now, pray tell, Sam, why is it controversial?
So basically the premise of the show is this girl, Patty, Fatty Patty, if you will, is played by Debbie Ryan. She's from Disney, the TV show Jessie, which no one would have watched. She is an overweight teenage girl, and she's wearing a fat suit because Debbie Ryan isn't actually fat. This is the first 2 minutes of the show. And she punches a homeless man in the face for trying to sell her candy bar, and then he punches her in the face and breaks her jaw. Her jaw gets wired shut, she loses 70 pounds in 3 months and comes back as a beauty queen to high school. And it's all about how you shouldn't be mean to fat people, but in the process it's really mean to fat people.
Right.
So I kind of looked into the backstory of the TV show. It's written by a woman who used to be fat herself, and she's like smashed bad at critics, being like, this all really happened, this is all a real thing,
right?
Like, fat shaming is such a big issue in America.
Kind of, you can't say this is offensive, I lived it, this is my story.
But it comes off as her being spiteful against all the bullies from high school who probably called her Fatty Patty.
And is it a revenge fantasy? Does she trip around high school, this Patty character, and kind of just being cruel back, or is her success revenge itself?
Well, see, I usually don't use spoilers in my reviews because I don't want to.
Okay,
but no, I don't care about the TV show at all, so I'm going to spoil it all over the show.
Okay, there will be spoilers. This is if you intend on watching this, maybe block your ears for a second.
So at the end of the first episode, she almost lights the homeless man on fire because she wants revenge. So the whole thing is she's insatiable for revenge and, like, getting her own back, and that's why she's insatiable. She's got this hunger to, reclaim something that I don't know what it is, because she's from a poor family, so she wants to get revenge against the rich. She's got bullied for being fat. She wants to get revenge of the popular people. It's all really...
Is there a possible reading of it where it's like, I don't like polarity, I'm going for equality, I'm going to take money from those who have too much of it, or popularity from people who has too much of it? Like, is there any way of reading this that is not dodgy as hell?
See, I think the issue is the writer assumes that we'll like Patty because she was fat and she was bullied, and like, she just assumes in her brain that we'll all be on her side.
Right.
But she's not a likable character.
Right.
And she's not nice to anyone. She's terrible to her own mum. Like, she doesn't have any redeeming qualities besides the fact that she was once bullied. So you know those kids at high school that were bullied and they just became even meaner?
Yeah.
Because they couldn't hack it, which is also awful, by the way.
Like,
bullying is always wrong.
Became the king bully in their smaller circle of friends, which is very common.
Yeah. So it's that. It's not... There's no real, like, way to read this that I think that is, like, nice and happy. So basically... I think the show just acts on the premise that being fat is just bad. Like, it doesn't ever critique the fact that, like, you can be fat and happy and have a good life, and, like, there's nothing wrong with being overweight or nothing wrong with having the body that you want to have. There's none of that, like, empowering, like, I can have a body and still have my whole life ahead of me. Like, the first show I reviewed for this show was This Is Us, and that stars a fat actress telling a fat person's story. And that's the issue that I have with this as well. Like, when you cast a gay actor to tell a gay story, cast a straight actor to tell a gay person's story, or a skinny actor to tell a fat person's story, you're actually not doing the story any justice because it's not real. Like, it's not, you're not doing anything to help the community. You're actually just being like, hey, look at an issue that someone's going to be like, oh, this is sad and it should be an issue, and I'm going to take it and use it myself. And also, the show itself is just bad in general. Like, besides the whole thing behind it, it's not very funny. It's not very interesting. It's not well written.
And you said there's like zero empathy there, right?
Yeah. They use voiceover to get exposition of the character's inside thoughts, which is the laziest bit of writing possible. We all know this. Like exposition needs to be shown, not told, if you want a good TV show. And I know it's meant to be like, oh, this is just a campy, fun, over-the-top dramedy. But, like, give us something. Like, it's R16. Like, this is you can't watch it if you're under 16 because it features such sexually heavy themes as well. So it's a TV show that seems like it's aimed at 13-year-olds, but has to be marketed as over 16, and it just really doesn't work.
It's quite interesting that it comes almost at the same time, as the feature film I Feel Pretty, which got similarly completely rubbished for having a similar storyline.
Well, I mean, the whole idea that you've got to change to be cool or popular or have a good life is indicative of all like 80s and 90s TV shows where the hot nerd got a makeover and suddenly they were hot. And like that, you take the glasses off and suddenly someone's beautiful.
Or you change schools and all of a sudden you're cool.
Yeah, that's not how life works. Like you can be beautiful and successful and popular no matter how you look or no matter like what size you are. And you can also like buck that whole trend and not care what people think of you. And that is the real power. Like, if she didn't care what anyone thought of her, I think that'd be more empowering than her wanting to take down the popular girls or wanting to date the popular girl's boyfriend or just this inane teenage nonsense that isn't actually true.
If they're all so gross, why do you want to be part of that? Yuck. Are there any people involved in the production that we may recognise from other shows and places?
Yes. Okay, so this is going to be really weird.
That was a really good point and that Sam just did to me.
Alyssa Milano is the first person I ever had a crush on.
And she's in it?
Yes, and she's my queen. Like I love her. I was in love with her from the age of 3 watching Charmed. So she is like the best person in the world. And she is one of the only actresses that I really, really enjoyed in the show. So she plays Coralie Armstrong. And she's the wife of Patty's pageant coach, who's like the second main character in the show. And she is trailer trash, turned like socialite in the southern community, you know, really wants to just be on the PTA and like wear her pearls and do all that kind of stuff.
Twin set pearls.
Yeah, and is fighting against her past, kind of like. And Patty's mum is also from the trailer trash, but she never got out. So it does this cool dichotomy thing in the third episode where they do a mother-daughter pageant, and Patty uses Coralie as her mother instead of her own mum because her mum's an alcoholic and from the trailer. And that episode almost got me. That episode was almost like, oh, the show might actually have something to it.
So it's potentially attempting and maybe failing to be about social mobility.
Well, yeah, no, so it really, really captured poverty and classism in the South really, really well in this episode, which I really was like surprised by because the first episode's an absolute dog. but Alyssa Milano and Sarah Colonna, who plays Angie, Patty's mum, managed to chew the scenery off this episode and turn this dog shit script into gold. somehow. Like, they somehow managed to deliver lines that shouldn't be possible to deliver, and it really lands. And I almost, like, actually teared up in one scene where the mum's yelling at her daughter in Wiener Taco, which is their version of
Taco Bell?
Yeah, I guess so. It's called Wiener Taco. It's a hot dog in a taco shell. It's
delicious.
One of those shows.
And very phallic-ionic.
Yeah, but then somehow they wash that all away by the end of the third episode, and Debbie Ryan's character Patty is back to being a snobby, angry, skinny bitch now, and so is Alyssa Milano's character. And in the fourth episode, it opens up with a underage student getting her nudes leaked all around the school. And then Patty gets blamed, and then she's like, well, this sucks for me because I'm getting blamed and now I can't be a pageant queen. And it's like, a 16-year-old just got their nudes leaked all over high school and you're the one complaining?
It like, sounds kind of vile.
It's just like so messy. Like there's no, it's like the most unwoke show Netflix has ever put out. Like they have some stellar originals.
Yeah.
And like being a lead character on a Netflix original now is like almost getting your golden ticket to at least 5 years of fame, but not for this show. This show is just absolute dog.
They have a great deal of money. Their hit to miss ratio is pretty good.
I would say so.
How many misses have they actually chucked out there?
Iron Fist was a miss. That's one of the Marvel ones. I don't know how well Luke Cage season 2 did, but that's, you know, neither here nor there. I'm trying to think of any other misses they had. I don't think On Our Block did very well, but I like that show. I don't know. I can't think of any other ones.
Does it have really high production values? Like, is it big budget type deal, or is it kind of something they were like, oh, we'll see if this works?
It seems like they spent a lot of money on not a lot of stuff. So, right. like it's like, you know how you can tell when a TV show is not very well made because it takes place in the same sets all the time?
Yes, or that might just be a symptom of it having to be shot quickly.
Yeah, well, this show is all over the show. Like, there's literally different sets every, like, about maybe minute. So, like, you're just cutting from things to things to things. And, like, it feels like there's a lot of money going into the show.
Right.
But it doesn't feel like the money's going anywhere good. Like, maybe, like, training the actors to have southern accents because half of them don't have southern accents and half of them do. It's like, there's two characters who have, like, impeccable southern accents and then their daughter doesn't. And I'm like, but that's not how that works. Like, accents are things you pick up because you grew up in a community, and if the whole community is meant to be southern, why are you not southern? It's just bizarre.
Accent.
It's just bizarre. And, like, it does, like, really dumb jokes. Like, her best friend is obviously a lesbian in the closet that's been in love with her since before she was skinny, and like she's still pining after her, but then she starts making out with a dude because she's trying to hide her sexuality. And then her pageant coach, who's got a wife, is always called effeminate or gay because he wears sweaters tied around his neck. And it's like, these are just low-hanging fruit that you're not...
Right.
There's no nuance, there's no subtlety, there's no like...
And when you're hanging out on the shelf, well, on the virtual shelf with a whole lot of other stellar Netflix content, I guess you can't really afford to be that sloppy or that broad.
Yeah, and it's like, I think they knew the controversy was coming and they didn't even try to like rewrite the script or anything. They just basically were like, we'll just put it out there. Someone's going to like it. And it's like, no, they're not.
Right.
And like, I mean, Netflix is a giant now. Like, they're huge. And like, I don't know why I've got such like a soft spot in my heart for Netflix, because I'm like, I still think there was like an indie little like, you know, thing. I'm like,
no,
they're
no.
not. They're a giant. They're like making money left, right, and center. And I'm still like, oh, Netflix originals are always so good. But like, comparing this to shows that I've watched, like vastly, this is just the worst one this year, I think.
Wow.
And I watch a lot of TV, so if this is the worst one this year, this is the worst one this year. And like, I watch reality shows, and even they have some better social commentary than this.
Shit, well, the jury has spoken. Thank you very much, Sam Sinner. Any idea of what you're going to bring in next week?
No, send me some texts, tell me what to watch. I'm up for anything. I haven't finished a TV show in months because of this show, but you know, I'm down for whatever.
Do you have any recommendations for our television experts? Text them in to 5395. In the meantime, because of the topic of the show, I thought it was a pretty good excuse to play this song by Hole. This is Jennifer's Body.
Thanks,
you're on
guys.
BFM.
Bye.
was Viewmaster on 95BFM.